o'clock.
Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus today. Great to be gathered together as brothers and sisters in Christ in the fellowship of believers here at Trinity. Today we have a blessed service prepared for you as we celebrate the ascension of our Lord together. We observe that today on the seventh Sunday of Easter. We're glad that the Lord has led you here today and thankful to be with you as he brings us his gifts and we offer him our thanks and praise. We also welcome those who are tuned in on the radio this morning on KSBK. Thanks for joining us for our service today. Our opening hymn today is 477, Alleluia, Alleluia, Hearts to Heaven. And we do invite the congregation to please stand on the last verse of that hymn and turn and face the cross as we process in this morning. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
We begin this morning on the celebration of the ascension of our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We continue with our introit from Psalm 47. That's responsively there in your bulletin on page 3. Clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy.
For the Lord Most High is superior, a great King over all the earth.
He subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet.
He chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loves.
God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet.
Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises.
For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a song.
God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne.
The princes of the people gather as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted.
Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. We continue with the Kyrie. The Lord be with you.
And
Let us pray. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for today comes from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our epistle lesson from the book of Ephesians in the first chapter. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now, if you're able, for our singing of the Alleluia and the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Would you join us in confessing our faith this morning to the words of the Nicene Creed? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. Please be seated. We invite you to join us in singing our Ascension hymn today. That's hymn 525, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. In our text this morning from our epistle lesson in Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaks of how he remembers the church in his prayers, as also our Lord prays in our lectionary reading for today for the seventh Sunday of Easter, which we didn't get to hear, but we heard the Emmaus Road for Ascension. But in John 17, our Lord also prays for us in what's known as the High Priestly Prayer. But in this portion of Ephesians 1, I wanted to spend a little bit of time with you this morning on this portion, because it often gets completely overlooked. When we hear about the apostle praying for the church, we kind of say, oh, well, that's good. That's great that he prays these things. But what he prays and what our Lord prayed for those who would believe in him because of the word of the apostles or the apostolic witness, those things that Christ and his apostles prayed, they matter. They matter a great deal because they reveal to us the will of God for his church and the blessed work of his Holy Spirit, and what the Spirit's up to, so to speak. I think as we look at it, we'll discover more about what God has done and about what God is doing for us. Here in this text, the apostle speaks of his prayer for the church in three ways. First, he prayed that you and I, as baptized members of Christ's church, may have, in verse 18, knowledge of the hope to which he's called you. Knowledge of the hope. God wants us to know what's coming in our future, and not in a creepy horoscope, tarot card, you know, kind of way that's based fundamentally on fear. But instead, he wants us to know the truth empowered by his love. He wants us to know that we possess an unshakable hope in Christ. Why does he want that for us, to know that? Well, because hope is the priceless key that we all need. Because it's the priceless key to joy. Hope is the priceless key to joy. And we've all been given it in our baptism. And that means that we actually already possess unshakable joy, whether we know it or not. I think, and it's always baffled me, because in our gospel reading, we hear about the apostles standing there as Jesus ascends into heaven. And it says they returned to Jerusalem, did you hear it, with great joy. It's always baffled me a little bit. I mean, he's leaving, and yet they're full of joy. I think this is how. It's how they can have joy, because as Jesus rose and ascended into the heavens, hope of his return was born. See, hope and joy, they have a symbiotic relationship. Like, have you ever known a joyous person that had no hope? They don't exist. There's no such thing. There's this guy on the internet who goes around and asks people this question. Would you take, if I gave you, would you take $10 million if it meant that you had to die tomorrow? Guess what everybody says? Maybe the only time anybody's going to say no thanks to $10 million, right? Nobody wants it. Because everyone values their hope way more than $10 million. What joy would that money bring you if there was no tomorrow? Nothing, exactly. If they took the money, now play it in reverse, if they took the money, they'd lose their hope and their joy. Hope is the priceless epicenter of God's joy. When we feel down in life, and don't raise your hands because I know everybody could. Some of you might raise them right now if you know what it means to feel down. Maybe you came in the door this morning feeling down or sad or even depressed. I mean, we're really good at faking the social smile when people say, "Hey, how are you?" And we say, "Oh, I'm good. I'm okay." But maybe deep down inside, we don't really feel that way. We feel like we've lost or are losing our joy. We remember better days when we felt happier and so on, but maybe that's not how we feel this morning. I hope you are filled with joy in the gathering of brothers and sisters and friends. When it comes to sadness or feeling down, consider it's a symptom of this reality. There's no joy when we've lost sight of our hope. The apostle prayers for the church are specifically that we might not lose sight of the hope that we have in Jesus. And I think now we can see why he would pray that for the church. In the Proverbs, in the 29th chapter, the 18th verse, Solomon pens this. He says, "Where there's no prophetic vision or hope, the people cast off restraint or they rebel." We need hope to be happy, to enjoy life. It's the same as St. Paul writes to the church in Philippians. There he says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." How can we do that? We know that we should, but how can we? To see that in Christ and what he did and what he's accomplished, that we always have hope. Do you remember in Romans chapter 8, verses 24 through 26, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "Hope that is seen is not hope. Why would one hope for what they see?" I think this has an interesting connection to ascension. Because have you ever considered that God keeps the object of our hope somewhere ascended where our carnal eyes don't behold him or can't behold him? Remember Jesus' words in John 16 before he left the world in the way physically that he did? He said to his disciples, "It's better for you if I go away." Why? It doesn't make sense. Just like it didn't make sense when the apostles returned to Jerusalem with great joy after Jesus ascended into heaven. Why? Consider this. If you take hope plus seeing, it doesn't equal hope. That's what Paul said. Hope that is seen is not hope. So if you take hope plus seeing in that equation, guess what equation that is? It's not the equation for hope, and it certainly isn't the equation for joy. Hope plus seeing, that's the equation for covetousness. For wanting what we see that other people have. So Jesus ascends into the heavens on purpose, hidden from our eyes, so that he might be received by faith. And we ought not covet what we see, even if it's another person's relationship with Christ. Because Jesus died for all of us the same. So if it's better for us, that's what he said, that he ascended. The apostles, they rejoice because the divine equation of hope plus not seeing can't equal covetousness. but it equals joy and expectation. And although we can't see him, he nevertheless remains ours completely, and we his, as the scriptures say. And notice, as Paul prays for the church, that verse said he desires that we have the knowledge of the hope to which Jesus calls us. Knowing about the hope that's ours in Christ is God's way of delivering to us his joy. Something to look forward to. Something major. And it's accomplished for us. As his dear children, he set it up so that nothing that happens to you on earth can steal that hope away. He secured it for us at his cross and in his resurrection and in his ascension into the heavens. Our hope, this is fundamentally a Lutheran theological truth that's very unique. Our hope does not depend on our performance or our good works. It's already been accomplished for us. Jesus hung on the cross that day when it got dark early, and he said this, "It is finished." What was finished? Our hope and our joy. It's secured on the cross and in the resurrection and in the ascension. But when we say, what is that hope exactly? Well, then we land in the next portion of the Apostles' Prayer. God also wants us to hope in what he calls there the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Our inheritance as believers is not a poor one. Don't let anybody fool you or cause you to think that it isn't endlessly rich and glorious. The forgiveness of sins, eternal life, the end of all evil, the wiping away of all tears with our Lord forever. But it's not an individualistic inheritance like we think about our covetousness. He calls it a glorious inheritance. And then he says this, a glorious inheritance in the saints. What's he mean by that kind of talk, the in the saints talk? It has everything to do with our hope and our joy. In the saints refers to what we say by faith when a loved one passes away from this life. In full view of what Jesus did for us, we will often say, we hear people say it all the time, we will see them again. Or this isn't the end. This is a gorgeous statement of faith and hope. It's also the reason, this is a side note, but it's the reason that Christians don't usually cremate. It's the reason that historically they've buried their dead. It's not that cremation is a sin or that it's wrong for some way, it's not. But burial in a cemetery, a Christian funeral, is a confession of faith. Because we bury in full hope of the resurrection of the body. What the Bible's referring to when it talks about the glorious inheritance that is yours and mine in the saints is exactly those things. The resurrection. That we will once again, because of Jesus and all that he did, be reunited with our loved ones, those who've died in the faith in Christ. Now that's a promise to hold on to if you're feeling down or depressed, that in your future, in Christ, we'll be reunited with the saints. With those who we miss and those who we love and having to live without right now. Remember the apostles' words from Romans 8, hope that is seen is not hope. Why would one hope for what they see? We hope now in Christ in the resurrection, because the joy connected with that hope is inexpressible and filled with glory. And this is our hope, our glorious inheritance in the saints, that what Jesus bought for us by his death, burial, and resurrection, by ascending into heaven, and that he placed all authority under his feet. There's nothing that has authority over Jesus and the inheritance that he has for you. If you'll stop and consider that day for just a moment, when all those that we love and have already passed away in the faith again say to us, "Hello." And we realize that it's actually them. And oh, the joy that is to come. And this is just a peek, a tiny peek into what we hope for, to be with our Lord, free from sin and in or among the saints. And it's the third point that Paul makes in our reading. He wants the church to be fully aware of her inheritance, of your inheritance. It's verse 19. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power in Christ toward those who believe? That's exactly what he's talking about. That for us, death looks like the end, but it's met its match with our Lord Jesus. It won't hold those who belong to him. Ever. He gives life. He is our life, the way, the truth, and the life. Death won't be able to hold you, and it won't be able to hold those whom you love who died in the faith. And we all know that the struggle's real with sin and with death. They're powerful, and we battle against them every single day, and they try to steal our joy away from us by placing our hope in earthly, temporal things, causing us to confuse hope for covetousness and live focused on our feelings instead of on our future. But God wants, and the apostles pray for, us to be blessed by our focus on what's to come in our inheritance in the saints. And one day, we will see with our eyes and behold that he truly does have those we love with him. And they're safe. And that we're not hopeless at all. That we have true hope that supersedes this sinful world. That's the blessing that you were given in the waters of baptism when the apostolic witness of the church poured water on your forehead in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, or bathed you in the water. You were given that hope, that blessing, and that joy. To look forward and to know that you're never hopeless. Don't listen to the lies. It's not true. The Lord died and resurrected and ascended into the heavens. And he has authority over all things. And this is our joy. Because one day we will see our Lord face to face. And all that he accomplished, we'll know by the greetings and the hugs of the saints that we now miss. It's an amazing hope that he's speaking of. Do you remember the old hymn, "Amazing Grace"? Of course you do. "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me," the hymn goes. In light of our text, it could also say, "Amazing hope. How great the joy that belongs to a wretch like me." And that hope gives us joy even today in the promise of all that Jesus did for us. With his own precious blood, he bought and paid for what we're going to receive. And nobody's going to stop him from accomplishing, giving you the inheritance which he won. He's God Almighty. He secured it for you. And we will see all the saints, those we love, very soon. And then it will be clear, not so dim, that it's a glorious inheritance that Jesus won for us, for our today, and for our tomorrow. remember as we close that hope that is seen is not hope, and hope plus not seeing equals joy. So we can live in that expectation and in the promises of our inheritance. What's coming is greater than you can imagine. It's not worth comparing to temporal sufferings. So we hope in Jesus every day because he has great things that he bought us at the cross with his own precious blood. And so for you, it is secure. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we continue with our service by having a chance to return to the Lord a portion of the things that he so graciously blessed us with in our offering this morning. As our offerings are collected and presented, our organist will play us an instrumental. This time we come before the Lord in the prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. O Lord, your Son has ascended to sit at your right hand until you make all enemies his footstool. Fix our eyes on him, ruling in the midst of his enemies through grace, mercy, and forgiveness. That we may have no fear of them, but abide in his peace. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, you have put all things under Jesus' feet and given him as head to the church. We pray you'd have mercy on the congregations where your people gather, that you'd give to your pastors wisdom and insight to hold fast to the message of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. And that you'd open the ears of all who hear, that we may all rejoice to be Christ's body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son fulfilled everything written about him in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms. Open our minds to understand the scriptures, Lord. That we may continue to grow in faith and wisdom and knowledge of how much you love us. In Christ our Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father of glory, you raised your Son from the dead and established him at your right hand to give us a place in your eternal household. We pray that you bless our homes as we await the resurrection. Be the companion and consolation for those who live alone. Strengthen husbands and wives that their love would exemplify the love that you showed us on the cross. Bless all parents and children as they gather around your word together. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have raised Christ from the dead. Lord, you have seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and all authority and all power and all dominion. Lord, we ask you humbly this morning that you would guide all the authorities on earth, that they would govern wisely, that they would operate with integrity and honesty and work to maintain peace after your good pleasure. Lord, we ask this for our American government as well as the governments around the world. Help us, Lord, we pray. Lord, in your mercy. God of mercy, you have sworn and will not change your mind that Christ is our high priest forever. Remember those this morning who are in need and who have asked for our prayers. We name before you at this altar this morning St. Peter's Lutheran Church as they work to call a new pastor. Lord, we lift to you Dave Johnson, Betty White, Barb Luco, Tom Poole, Frankie Gray, Nathan Poole, Brooklyn Clasby, Carolyn Jeery, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patent, Sonny Rumler, Frank Rendon, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, console them with the certainty of unending grace and the promise of your sustaining love. In the name of Jesus, Lord, have mercy. Hear our prayer. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Lord, bless us as we come to your table today to receive your very body and very blood, in with and under the bread and the wine. Gather us together, Lord, in the fellowship that you've given us. In your name and in our need for you. Lord, we pray that you gather all of us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. That you graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you're joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in and being a part of our worship service. If you're gathered here in the sanctuary, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able and turn to page 9 in your bulletin for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples and in their sight was taken up into heaven, that he might make us partakers of his divine life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Thank you.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM. KSPK.